This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Hyperbaric Medical Solutions. If you suffer from a diabetic complication, radiation damage, stroke, or a degenerative condition, hyperbaric oxygen therapy may be right for you. Ask your doctor about how HBOT can help you achieve your optimal health. Call Hyperbaric Medical Solutions at 844-877-HBOT or visit hyperbaricmedicalsolutions.com/Hoffman to learn more.
Welcome to another edition of Layla Weighs In. Thank you for joining me once again and listening to the podcast on the Intelligent Medicine Podcast Network. Hey, thank you for sending me your questions, your comments. I read them all. I appreciate them. And do send me your questions to radioprogram@AOL.com. That's radioprogram@AOL.com. I've got a few of your questions today. John writes me, "Hi, Layla. You and Dr. Hoffman have mentioned a number of times that magnesium citrate helps with bowel movements. I've read that magnesium oxide is supposed to be more effective. Is this true? I always enjoy your show." Thank you, John. Thanks for listening. As a matter of fact, they are both used for constipation. It is possible that magnesium oxide is more effective. And all that really means is that magnesium oxide is really far less bioavailable than magnesium citrate for constipation, because the oxide form of magnesium, because it's not very bioavailable, it basically draws more water to the colon, softening stool. I have, however, heard of more cases of diarrhea with magnesium oxide than magnesium citrate. But for any of those who are using magnesium citrate for constipation but are not getting total relief, it may be that you need magnesium oxide instead. So either form of magnesium are fine. Magnesium citrate also it's a little more bioavailable than magnesium oxide, but it still draws water to the colon, providing for a softer stool, easier passage, you know, less constipation, and more complete evacuation, which is another feature of constipation, is when there is not a complete evacuation. Both of these forms of magnesium can help you with that. And it's true, magnesium oxide may be more effective, but I've heard that it's a little too much bringing you towards diarrhea, which is not what you want either. You just want to have a fully formed, soft stool that passes easily, and that's really what the objective is. So either form is fine. Thank you very much for your question, John. I've got an email from Nancy. "Hi, Layla. What supplements should I consider taking to improve my osteopenia? Currently, I take magnesium and vitamin C, but would like to help my bones. I follow a ketogenic diet as best I can. Thank you for your question, Nancy." Now, it's good that you're taking magnesium, because that's the most underrated mineral for bone health that I keep seeing in my practice, that too many people are concentrating on calcium but not magnesium. Vitamin C is effective. Vitamin C is probably more effective for collagen, for maintaining elasticity of our skin, for collagen production, helpful for joints, also helpful for smooth muscle within the endothelium of our arteries. Vitamin C is good for so many things, and I would... It's not necessarily top of the list for bones, but it's just a top of the list vitamin in my book, so continue taking that. Now, for osteopenia, another supplement of prime importance is vitamin D. Now, the question is, first, what is your vitamin D level? Because this is important. When we test the serum of vitamin D, the blood test is 25 hydroxy vitamin D. That's the proper test. That's the name of the test, 25 hydroxy vitamin D. And depending on what time of year you have this blood test, your number will be different. Often in summer or towards the end of summer, your vitamin D serum level, blood level, will tend to be higher than your vitamin D level at the end of winter. We're getting more of the UVB rays in summer, more of our skin is exposed to it. Up here in the Northeast, we're not getting much of anything in terms of UVB rays, at least at the proper angle between the months of October and April. So your vitamin D level will definitely be lower at the end of winter. Now, if you're taking a supplement, you're going to have a much higher vitamin D level, which is great. But are we supposed to be taking a static dose of vitamin D every day of the year? No. If you're taking 5,000 IU a day, for example, probably better to take that amount through the winter and either take a lesser amount in the summer, maybe 2,000 or 1,000, or, you know, if you're a certified beach bum like me, just put it aside for the summer, depending on how much sun exposure you're getting, of course. And, you know, I do have the benefit of getting my blood levels checked regularly. So vitamin D is critical to bone health, and vitamin D is also what drives calcium to the bones. Now, we no longer recommend taking so much calcium, as you know. As you've heard me mention before, I've talked about the detriments of calcium on a previous podcast. I think it was a couple of months ago. And the problem that the latest scientific research is revealing, I'll just recap just a little bit because I do want to answer Nancy's question. We no longer recommend taking more than about 500 to top 700 milligrams of calcium a day because any excess calcium may wind up in places that it's not supposed to. Soft tissue areas like breasts, for example, and that could be seen as a suspicious calcification. It is possible. And possibly in coronary arteries, as, you guessed it, calcifications. And by the way, nobody on a metabolic panel, their regular blood test, you know, the comprehensive metabolic panel that your primary care doctor will do, nobody is coming up low in calcium, at least not in this country. So why are we supplementing everybody with all this calcium when nobody really has a deficiency of it? Time to rethink that. We supplement vitamin D because there's so much deficiency, and we supplement magnesium, especially after testing for it. So we no longer recommend 500 to 700 milligrams of calcium a day. Nancy, if you are taking any calcium, make sure that across your multi or any separate calcium, if you are taking one, does not equal more than that range, the 500 to 700 milligram range. And of course, we need at least as much magnesium, if not double the amount of calcium, A, to help metabolize the calcium properly, and B, calcium supplements can cause constipation. Hey, what was I just talking about earlier, right? So, because calcium has the ability to turn stool into concrete, you need magnesium to counteract those effects. Very, very important. The other critical nutrient for bone health, whether it's osteopenia or full-blown osteoporosis, also very important for heart health. You guessed it, vitamin K, MK7, which is vitamin K2. Very, very important. And this is another nutrient that's been underrated and merits a lot more spotlight, merits a lot more even research, because apparently the benefits are many. Vitamin K may be the critical nutrient in helping to reduce so much coronary artery disease we have in this country. In fact, vitamin K may be the missing nutrient. Okay? Now, vitamin K is found in meat. It's found in cheese, dairy-like cheese. It's also found as K1 in dark green leafy vegetables. That K1, and I talked about this on an earlier podcast, but I'll recap a little bit. That K1 from the green leafies is really for homeostasis. So, a great meal, have a steak, have a salad, have some broccoli, have a sprinkling of Parmesan if you're having a Caesar salad or something like that. You're getting good amounts of vitamin K in these foods. We're also getting smaller amounts of vitamin K in places like egg yolks, not as much. But vitamin K is critical, and so far as we know, the right dose is about 180 micrograms per day. That's micrograms, not milligrams. So in the ballpark of, 200 micrograms a day would be the right amount of vitamin K to take. Now, Nancy, you don't tell me if you're on a blood-thinning medication such as Coumadin, known as warfarin, taking a vitamin K would be contraindicated there, meaning if you're taking a strong blood-thinning medication such as Coumadin, you should not take vitamin K, not without checking in with your doctor first, because you need to have your blood tests measured, your INR and all of that. So the other nutrient that you often find in a multivitamin, if you're already taking one, is some boron. Boron can be helpful for bone health. There isn't a whole lot of boron in a multi. You don't need a whole lot of boron. This is a mineral. And it might be slightly estrogenic. And that is how boron can be helpful for bone health. Now, for those women who are estrogen dominant, I wouldn't recommend boron. However, the amount in a multi is so small that it may not make that much of a difference, possibly. But in many bone building supplements that contain all the micronutrients for bone health, such as calcium, some D, maybe some K, maybe possibly even some, you will normally find some boron there. You might also find soy isoflavones, which may be helpful for bone health. What we do know for a fact, Nancy, to take care of our bones going forward as we get older, and if you do have that diagnosis of osteopenia, weight-bearing exercise is critical. Hey, but keep doing your cardio. Go out if you're a jogger, if you're walking up steep hills, if you're on an elliptical, If you're on a bike, a stationary bike, or you're biking outside, keep doing your cardio. It's good for your heart and your lungs, but you want to give equal time to strength training. And the strength training I'm talking about optimally should occur 3 times a week with a day off in between. For example, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And some of the best weight-bearing exercises to do, get on the floor and do push-ups. That takes care of a lot of your upper body. Do push-ups until you're exhausted. Do it to fatigue. And then get up and do some squats and lunges. This takes care of the lower body. All helpful. And any machines you're doing at the gym, the Nautilus, the free weights, all of those, including your toning, exercise classes, yoga, all of this is wonderful, absolutely wonderful for bone health. And, when we take care of our bones, what happens before osteopenia is likely the diminishment of muscle. And that's called sarcopenia. And what we have found out in the scientific literature is that older people need more protein than younger people. Wow. So we actually need to double the RDA for protein. As we get older, I would say anybody over the age of 40, starting at age 40, maybe 45 or 50, we need to start increasing our protein intake. But what about my kidneys? I can hear some of you saying. Well, I'll tell you, increasing your protein intake does not harm healthy kidneys. Unless you are an end-stage kidney failure. Unless you have quite compromised kidney function, quite compromised renal function, you still have a protein requirement, and that still includes high biological value protein. However, it won't be nearly as much. And that's something, as a nutritionist, as a dietitian, that's something I would watch for. But I'm talking about people who have healthy kidneys. We're not talking about increasing the size of your steak from 4 to 6 ounces to 12. You don't need that much. 4 to 6 ounces is fine. Make it twice a day, all the better. So, not just steak, your chicken, your fish, your eggs, your omelets, all of that. Plant proteins are helpful, but there's nothing like the high biological value protein that you get from animal food. That, weight-bearing exercise, taking the right supplements. And Nancy, you may want to consider taking a supplement such as Ostera. These are the hops that are shown to help reduce the rapid turnover of bone. This is very important. I want to say it almost works like a bisphosphonate, meaning those medications for osteoporosis such as Fosamax, Actonel, Boniva, all of those. It helps to slow down the rate of bone turnover. But if you've just got osteopenia, not osteoporosis, I don't think you need such big guns. And certainly, the only time strontium is recommended for bone health is for full-on osteoporosis. I know that Dr. Hoffman does not recommend strontium for those with osteopenia. Take care of the other supplements first, your magnesium, some calcium, vitamin D, vitamin K, a good multi with a little bit of boron in there, possibly soy isoflavones, weight-bearing exercise, and getting enough protein. So, that weight-bearing exercise, I want to go back to that a minute. The optimal amount to do is 3 times a week. That was in a scientific study that showed that men and women retain more lean body mass when they practice strength training, not twice a week, but 3 times a week. And that's why this is the recommendation. And even for those of you who hate exercise, and I can't imagine why anymore, because exercise feels so good. All you need to do, and this does not require a gym membership, it doesn't require a cute outfit to wear while you're exercising, it does not require a headband, it doesn't even require a pair of sneakers. You could do this in the comfort of your own home, and even in your birthday suit if you wish. You're going to do squats, you're going to do lunges, you're going to do push-ups. These are probably some of the most important weight-bearing exercises, and it takes care of it for you in a pinch. You could probably repeat these exercises, do them until fatigue, and be done within anywhere between 10 and 20 minutes, depending on your conditioning. I would also throw in there some core work, some core training, crunches, leg lifts, Pilates-type core work, very, very important. Get on the floor and do a plank. If there's one exercise that is probably the most important for your core, get into a plank position. That's the top of the push-up. You could stay there for a minute, 90 seconds, or you could go down into your forearms, make it harder, so that your upper arms are perpendicular to the floor. So you're in that top of the push-up position, right, on the floor in a plank, and then you go down to your forearms. Now try holding that plank position for 30 seconds. Rest a little bit after 30 seconds. Repeat that 2 more times. I guarantee you, you will stand up straighter. People may even remark to you that, hey, you look taller today. I've heard that said, honestly. But it takes care of those really deep inner abdominal muscles that also help to stabilize your spine. Very, very important. It's great for the back muscles, for the side muscles, all kinds of exercises you can do. Following a ketogenic diet or a low-carb diet is terrific for your bones. You're not getting the excess carbohydrates that we get in the standard American diet. So you're eating in the cleanest way possible. These are all the wonderful things that you can do to take care of your bone health. I want to thank you, John. I want to thank you, Nancy, for sending me your questions. And I remind you all, email me your questions and comments to radioprogram@AOL.com. And I thank you for joining me once again in another edition of Layla Weighs In here on the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. This is Layla Mutin, RD. I see patients every day here at the Hoffman Center. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.